Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Lexicology Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, we are.
Are
we? I absolutely love it. This is, of course, all stolen. We never think of anything. Here
well,
it is.
That's not true. You think of stealing it.
I think of stealing it, right. Every year, the Washington Post has a style invitational and asks readers to take a word from the dictionary, change it by adding, subtracting, or changing one letter, and then supply a new definition. You
love
me?
It.
Okay.
Mm.
For example, I'll give you an intoxication, you change to intaxication. And the definition is euphoria at getting a tax refund which lasts until you realize it was your money to start with.
I love it.
How about this? You take sarcasm. You add an H, so it's S-A-R-C-H.
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm, same word. The gulf between the author of sarcastic wit and the person who doesn't get it.
That's very good.
Man, these are so clever. So I wish I was smart enough.
Yeah, why aren't you? What's wrong, man?
Carmageddon. It's like when everybody's sending off all those really, really bad vibes, you know, and then, like, the earth explodes and it's like a serious bummer. And my first personal favorite, which happens to be the last one here, the Doppler effect. The tendency of stupid ideas to seem smarter when they come at you rapidly. This is great, man.
I like the Doppler effect.
Who came up with this? The Washington Post.
The readers of the Washington Post.
But the idea to do it came from the Washington. Maybe it came from a reader as well.
Well, and the idea to steal it, I think, was just as
It was just as good.
Well, anyway.
There's another one here which I can't read on the air, but it's really the best one. I'll give you a hint. It starts from the word ignoramus. You got it?
Got it. And I know which letter that is. Well, anyway, if you've got some words for us that we could use on the air, then give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Andrew from Tucson. How you doing?
Good.
Andrew, we're doing great.
Tucson, Tucson, Arizona.
That's the place.
That's the place. What's up?
I've got an 86 Celica with a overheating problem that I just can't figure out.
Well, you know, I got a 63 Dodge Dart with an overheating problem that I can't figure out.
Yeah?
Solved it by buying a Fiat, which is now his summer car.
Yeah.
I see.
All right, what's yours? Maybe if we can figure yours out, give me some clues as to mine.
Well, let's hope. Okay, when I go out driving on long drive, short drives, no problem. Long drives, couple of hours, like heading up to Phoenix. Engine over, the engine slowly heats up until finally, you know, my temperature gauge is just spiking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I pull over, turn off the car, open the hood, and the engine doesn't feel hot. I mean, I can touch the radiator hoses with my bare hands. It's not that hot. I've changed the water pump. I flushed the radiator. I changed the temperature gauge sender.
Oh, you did, huh?
I changed the thermostat to the lowest temperature thermostat I could get, which was a 180.
Yeah.
And it still does it.
Yeah, I've done all those things on my Dart.
No luck?
No luck.
Ah.
I was sure that I would be able to fix it. In fact, just this morning, as I was driving to the studio, I pulled over, took off my shoe, and whacked the thermostat bowl. And I thought for sure that when I did that, that dial was going to come right down.
I don't think you should be telling anyone.
So should I carry a shoe with me? I mean, just...
Well, I tell you, it didn't work for me. It did not work.
Okay. Well, what I think it is... I mean,
I know what your problem is, Andrew. I know his problem. It's mine that I can't figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your problem is that in spite of your flushing out of the radiator, you feel...
You need a radiator.
You fail to remove enough of the crud that's in there. You have crud accretion.
Radiator crud.
Yeah. And the only way you're going to get that out is to either throw the radiator in the trash and put a new one in,
uh-huh.
or send it out to a shop and have them acid bathe it.
acidate it.
Of course, when they do that, all that will come back is the radiator frame.
Right.
The entire core of the
radiator. All the core will just deteriorate. Fall apart.
Now, what they can do with the radiator shop is they can flow test it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they're going to tell you, Andrew, this radiator is plugged up, and for $300, we'll sell you a new one.
Okay, new radiator.
Yep.
Yeah, before you blow a head gasket.
Okay, so, all right, well, give it a shot.
Give it a shot, but don't be angry if it doesn't work.
Okay.
We're just doing our best. See you, Andrew.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Bye.
Right, thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
So long. Is that good enough? I mean, if you tell them that, don't get angry with us because we're doing our best.
I mean, we're always doing our best.
That's good.
I mean, there's nothing malicious or
no.
Or purposely harmful in our advice to him. It, deceptive might have just been ignorance.
We certainly weren't trying to trick him.
No.
We weren't going to make any money out of this deal. We had nothing to gain by giving him the wrong answer.
No. Unless our shares of Modine radiator stock go up, but who knows?
If that happens, it happens.
It happens. I mean, it would just be luck. If you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is June from Montgomery Village, Maryland.
Hi, June. Montgomery. I don't meet too many people named June anymore. June's a nice name.
Thank you.
So what's up, June? Junie? what do they call you? June. There's hardly any way you can mess around with that.
I get called June Bug sometimes.
Okay, June Bug, what's up?
Okay, my very good friend is a single parent, and his oldest son just turned 16. So my Christmas present to both of them was, I will be the one taking Micah out to learn how to drive.
Oh.
Except I don't have a clue as to where to start.
Man.
Other than I know how to drive.
Yeah. Got an hour?
Or $29.95 for our videotape? Yeah.
Jeez, what advice can we give you? Well, I can tell you what I did.
Okay.
Because I have a now 17-year-old daughter who at the time was 16.
Like a year ago?
It's be like a year ago.
Yeah.
So I have some relatively recent information about a recollection of what I did. One day, I mean, the day she turned 16, she said, teach me to drive. And I actually took her to an empty parking lot. Big empty parking lot of a local college around here. And I put her in the driver's seat and I explained to her brake pedal, gas pedal, emergency brake, steering, blah, 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 blah. And what I said to her was, take off the handbrake, put it into drive, and...
Oh, did you take off the blindfold too?
Step on the gas and just go 10 feet and stop. And... She did that, and of course, she jerked on the stop and jerked on the start, and she stopped. And I said, okay, do it again. So we did this 5 or 6 times until she got the feel for starting off smoothly and stopping smoothly. Then, little by little, we graduated to driving the whole length of the parking lot, which interestingly was separated down the middle with some kind of a barrier so that we could actually drive up one side and down the other in a great big oval.
Mm.
And the first time she had to make the turn, of course, she practically crashed into things, but she didn't. And so we did that every Sunday for about a month.
Well, this will explain why we didn't see you guys for a long time.
And then one day we got to the parking lot and there were cars there, which was great because now she had some sense of how to do it and she could now try to avoid cars.
Right.
Which she
did for the most
managed
part.
To do for the, for the most part. And so we played around with that for a while. And all of this now is in an empty parking lot, pretty much empty. And we did a little
bit.
And she's
19 by now, too.
And we did that for quite a long time before I took her on the road. And when I took her on the road, I'm trying to think of, I drove out to the suburbs where there was not much traffic.
The birds were chirping.
The birds were chirping, exactly. In fact, I took her to the town where my brother lives.
See if you can sideswipe Uncle Ramey's car.
All those cars that are parked in front of Uncle Ramey's house. And then little by little, I mean, we graduated, you know, from streets with no cars to streets with a couple of cars. And there were some scary moments.
But it would be helpful for you, June, to get that same book. What's his name, this boy?
Micah.
Whatever that book that he's going to learn from, so you can reacquaint yourself with the rules so you don't teach him anything that's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the biggest issue because...
You know, for example, you might tell him, oh, yeah, you can trail right behind these fire trucks. It doesn't make any difference how close you get to them. If you do, you'll get to your destination faster.
And you have the ideal opportunity when you buy the little book. When you get the little book, you can give a copy of him, and right in the front of it, you can write, for Micah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And you don't get an opportunity to do that very often.
No, you certainly don't. He's been waiting for 10 minutes. Well, 8 minutes anyway.
I have, yeah. I'll admit it. I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was my experience. I don't know if that's helpful.
And if nothing else, June, it will make you a much better driver.
It will, because they keep asking, is it okay to do that? And you better know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess our word of advice would be go slowly.
Okay.
But you can do it, June. I mean, you've stuck your neck out now.
And it's probably a good thing because, I mean, I don't know why your good friend doesn't want to do it himself.
Oh, there are lots of reasons not to teach your own kids.
Well, actually, it was my idea because I remember how much fun it is having your own parent teaching you how to drive.
Yes, it's joyful, isn't it?
It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, see, I took a very different approach. I gave my each of my sons, when the time came, $500, and I sent them to Punjabi Driving School. It seems like a lot of the driving schools in our city are run by Indian people, and they did a wonderful job.
You know why? Because they're slow and patient.
Yes.
Well, I'm my daughter's parent, and I taught her, and we
rest our case.
I thought we bonded beautifully.
Yeah. And now why does she make the thing, the cross there?
Whenever she sees me.
June, good luck. It will take patience, but I'm sure you have it.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ali from Anchorage, Alaska.
Ali? How do you spell that?
A-L-I.
A-L-I. Ali.
Ali.
Yeah.
From Ali.
Anchorage.
Ali.
Anchorage.
Ali from Anchorage.
What's going on, Ali?
I have a 1980 Subaru GL, and I have
80?
A million miles?
No, it's got 106,000 miles.
Oh, yeah, because where can you go in Anchorage?
what do they do, helicopter that thing in for you?
And my problem is I've got two broken inner CV boots, and the mechanics, of course, want to change it, but changing both of the CV joints is going to cost me half the value of the car.
Oh, you don't want to change the joints.
Well, it's the boots or the joints that's the problem.
Well, the boots are torn, and they've been torn wide open for the past 4,000 miles. And I've been able to drive it just fine, no noises or anything.
So the mechanic wants to replace the boots.
Well, they want to replace the joints and the axles because they say it's already been contaminated. Because I go serious off-road in this little Subaru. And my question to you guys is, how long can I run this before the whole front end is going to drop out?
Well, let's look at it this way. What do they want? Like $600 or $700 to do this?
$440. And I only paid $800 for the whole car.
Did you tell them that?
Well, yeah, they know that.
It doesn't matter.
I bought it from their mechanic.
How long have you had it?
I've had it for the past 8 months, for the past 6,000 miles.
Oh, I would say do nothing. Duct tape.
They're predicting some kind of catastrophic failure.
Well, yeah. See, my brother thinks you should get one of those. Go to the, you have a CVS up there in Anchorage?
No, no CVS.
And get one of those giant economy-sized jars of Vaseline.
Yeah.
And stuff that stuff into the joints every morning before you drive it.
Right.
Put a good handful of Vaseline.
Right. And tape up the boots.
But I tell you, those inner joints are almost indestructible.
Really?
I mean, you're doing your best to kill them, but they're almost indestructible.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty tough. And I would go ahead, have somebody take the axles out. It's pretty easy to take them out of a Subaru. clean all the old grease out,
mm-hmm.
put new grease in there, put two new boots on, and you're good for another 100,000.
I'm going to run this thing into the ground before the CV joints go
yeah,
back.
Yeah, and by then your sentence may be over. I mean, you may, you know.
You may get out by then.
What are you doing up there anyway?
Midlife crisis. I left my engineering job in Washington, D.C., rode my Harley cross-country, and ended up in Alaska.
Really?
You ended up in San Diego?
What
Alaska?
What were you thinking?
Well, you made one wrong turn, man. You took a right instead of a left.
I went right through Canada.
Yeah, well.
So you've been there for 8 months?
I've been here for 8 months.
And how are you doing?
It's fantastic here.
And what are you doing? You're obviously not doing engineering.
I'm doing the same thing. I tried to make a career change. It didn't work. And I'm back to mechanical engineering.
Well, that's good. So now instead of having a nice apartment and nice weather, you're up there living in an igloo, freezing your butt off.
And doing the same stupid job that you had.
Yeah. Good move, Ollie.
That you were running away from.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, and pretty soon you'll come to your senses and come back. But in the meantime, have the boots replaced, and you'll be fine.
Thank you very much.
All right, see you later.
Have a good one.
Bye. All right, do you remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll give you a clue. It has to do with a baseball team in Pittsburgh.
Of course. It had to do... Why do Pirates wear a patch over their eye?
Holy...
That's it, isn't it? That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you something. I'll let you in on a little secret. I didn't remember what it was. I'm saying, baseball team in Pittsburgh. The hell was the puzzle last week? Well, sit tight. We'll be back in a minute.
Rattlesnake in the road. Gonna die, but he don't know. Sun streaks his stripes of gold. Rattlesnake in the road. Well, he's curled up in a knot.
And even though the NPR electrician makes a mental note to leave some wiring exposed in our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Snowflake, the only data warehouse built for the cloud. You know, today, organizations need the agility that rapid data insights bring to stay a step ahead of the competition. With Snowflake, you can instantly and infinitely scale your data warehouse with the touch of a button, delivering deep insights at any time for all users. Start your journey towards data-driven decision-making at snowflake.com.
We're back with a new season of Rough Translation.
Yeah.
And this time, we are following people who break the rules.
I mean, lying is part of the business.
In my opinion, the best revenge against ISIS is to be humane.
Am I supposed to punch her?
Yeah.
New episodes every other Wednesday. Subscribe.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I remember it had the... Oh, that was the actual question, wasn't it?
That was the question. I mean, if you remember...
Pirates had
I started the thing off with the joke about the bird poop, how the guy lost his eye. It was the first day with me hook.
Yeah.
Right. And it basically, that was the question. If that's not the way pirates lost their eyesight...
Yeah, why do pirates always have a... So often... have a patch.
Right, or even sailors. They don't have to be pirates, but sailors. Well,
sailors.
If you think about it for a minute, before there was inertial navigation and LORAN and all that geopositional satellites and all that, sailors of old used to navigate by the stars.
Yeah.
Right?
We knew that.
Except during the daytime, there ain't no stinking stars.
I've noticed that too.
And they used to use the sun.
Which is what? A star.
Which is a star. Yes, it is. It's the only star that's visible in the daytime.
Yeah.
And because they were using the sun to navigate and looking at the sun and getting angles of elevation, so to speak, with a sextant, they would burn out their retinas.
Really?
Yes. As we know, if you stare at the sun, what happens to your eyesight? It gets cooked.
So the way they navigated was to figure out how far above the horizon the sun is? That just tells you what time it is, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they didn't have timepieces.
Oh, so someone says, what time is it, matey?
And he say, let me burn my retina out and I'll tell
burn
you.
Burn out my retina and I'll let you know. Or he says, you mean now? Yeah.
Come on, who's our winner? Well, we're on a tight schedule.
Right. Yeah, we got 3.5 hours to do. The winner is Cheryl Jovell. Jovell.
I like Jovell better.
Jovell.
Even though that's not the right pronunciation.
It probably isn't, but it has a nice ring to it. She's from Largo, Florida, which must be near the Key. Key, Largo. Now,
I wouldn't go jumping to any conclusions. No. You get us in trouble when you jump to conclusions.
And for having her correct answer chosen at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we got this week, Cheryl is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com. And with that $26, she can pick up a copy of our CD of disrespectful car music, Car Talk cartoons, which you can keep in your car and then use for solace when you're waiting for a tow truck.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I believe, automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of the show.
Good.
So don't slam off the radio just yet. If you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-8227. I like these little bites, 82 and 55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi. I'm calling from Midland, Michigan.
Heidi, ho.
Yes, that would be me.
Up?
So I have a 1998 Volvo Cross Country, and it needs to have its belts changed, including the timing belt.
Yes, it does.
And this is why I'm calling, because my husband thinks that this is a job that he wants to undertake. And the problem that I have with this is that he is not a mechanic. He teaches tennis for a living. And English is like his fifth language. He's not originally from the United States. And he says that he has this book that all mechanics have, and he can just look at the book, and he'll be able to install the new timing belt, and everything will be perfect. But I have to say to him over and over again, but you don't like to read, especially in English. So we're having a kind of a family breakdown here, and I'm wondering if you could give me some advice on whether or not I should have let him change this timing belt in this car.
I think you should lock him in the cellar and take the thing to the Volvo dealer.
Well, he seems to think that he can do it. He's been piddling around with cars, you know.
And what has he ever done before?
Well, we did have a 1989 Honda Accord, and he did try to change the timing belt on that, but it was a disaster because he couldn't get this bolt off that he needed to get off to do it.
Right.
So he ended up having to have it towed to a garage where they could get the bolt off and replace the belt.
Oh, and they did it.
Yes, they actually did it. But his friend has a BMW, and they replaced the timing belt in that car together. So he seems, I don't know, he's done brakes before.
He didn't get very far on the Honda, because taking that bolt off is the equivalent of, like, let's say you're going to run a marathon and you couldn't tie your sneakers. So that's what he got stymied right there.
Okay.
So the friend with whom he did the timing belt on the friend's car.
Yes.
Is that person able to help him on this job?
Yes. He will help him. But he's not a mechanic either. He teaches figure skating for a living. So
figure skating and tennis.
Yeah.
What are you guys living in? Like, what are you living in? Disney World? Does anyone work out there in Midland?
I guess it might appear that way, but it's not really Disney World at all. So, yeah.
I'd say you're not going to be able to stop him.
Okay.
No.
It might cost you a car.
That's what I wondered, because I thought the timing belt was kind of important. And if you put it in wrong, what would happen?
Oh, that would be bad.
On this car, it's a disaster.
Okay.
And if you put it in wrong, or worse than that, if it jumps.
Yeah.
You could put it in correctly, and then you do something wrong, and it jumps a couple of teeth.
Okay.
That can be disastrous, too. And the disaster is that it bends the valves to the tune of a couple of $1,000.
Holy come on. Okay.
Or if you're lucky, the valve goes right through the piston.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So let's say that I can't convince him and I don't file.
Then you're going to have to lock him in the cellar. And there's no other way.
Well, what is there anything that I should look for, or will he know when he starts the car?
Does he have a lot of time on his hands? Is that it?
No.
Is he bored with his marriage?
Isn't this tennis season now? Come on, can you sign up? Can we sign up for lessons?
Well,
you mean you can't distract him enough?
Give me some ideas.
I don't think we should have to give you ideas.
He's into the car. He thinks he can do it. I don't know.
I mean, this is an important thing, you know?
All right. I'll do my best.
By the way, just to be serious for a minute,
Okay.
Don't let it go beyond the minute.
We recommend also at our shop that you replace the water pump when you do this.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're going to do it, maybe that will be enough to put them over the edge.
Okay.
And the water pump is hard to do because there's not much room to maneuver that thing in and out of there.
That's going to be my leverage.
And then he's going to bleed the system afterwards and tell him.
You know, I mean, I think it's admirable of him to want to do something like this on mm-hmm. the car. But he chose a really bad thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, ordinarily we'd be with him, but it's
too hard. Too complicated, and the consequences of doing it wrong are enormous.
And the tennis thing. Does he string his own rackets?
I think maybe sometimes, but not very often. He knows how.
How many rackets does he have?
Oh, I don't know. Hundreds. He has a lot of rackets.
Cut them all.
Okay. Okay. I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Good luck, Heidi.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Do whatever it takes.
Okay, I will.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2. See, some guys are just not. You can't discourage some guys.
No, you can't.
When we had the do-it-yourself shop,
oh,
it was I was amazed at the jobs that complete novices were willing to undertake.
Yeah.
It made no difference whatsoever how and even when we told them, oh, I mean, when we do these, we screw it up. They'd say, oh, it's all right, I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, I think it's nice that people have the courage or the innocence, I guess, to just
naivete.
Dive right in. Just dive right in. Damn the torpedoes. There's something to be said for that. I think it's great.
Yeah, and all those guys ended off walking home when they couldn't get their cars.
And they're mostly called lefty.
But who knows? Anyway, 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Nathan from Minneapolis.
Hi, Nathan.
Nathan Detroit. How you doing?
What's up?
Well, a few days ago, I was driving around my girlfriend's car. She's out on vacation. And she left me the keys.
Oh, what a mistake.
Well, I got in a little fender bender. I was turning a corner.
It was an incident, you mean? Yeah.
Now, here's the bad part. Yeah. I don't have a license.
Oh, Nathan.
Ouch.
Oh, that is a little problem, isn't it?
What was the nature of your license revocation, if you don't mind?
Oh, no, I just never bothered to get one.
You figured, why bother, right?
Yeah, why bother?
Why bother? I have no reason to drive. My girlfriend drives me everywhere.
Is that the whole story? Is it worse than this, or did you have one of your old girlfriends in the car, too?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad. Okay.
Okay, so here's this. Now, there's some minor body damage, but that's no big deal. What the big deal is, there's this very audible thumping when I brake. It's when you start slowing down, it's like ka-thunk, 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 ka-thunk.
Yeah.
And I want to know if there's something I could do to, because she's going to know this. When she gets home, she's going to see.
Buy her a new stereo before she gets back. One of those 400 watts per channel jobs.
One of those big thumpers that go on the back.
And when she says, what's that noise? You say, bass drums.
Oh, so you have had the body work done.
No, it's really minor. I think I can cover it up. You know, it's a little can of spray paint, and it'll be all right. But. Yeah.
Where did you get hit?
Right in the rear end, right in the rear left.
Yeah, that's where you're going to get hit when she gets back to it.
In the rear left. Someone hit you from the side, or you hit someone else?
No, from an angle in the back. I was turning, and they got me.
Obliquely?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of a jalopy is this?
Oh, this is a 87 Honda Civic.
Yeah.
All right, so you think you can doctor this thing up with some spray paint and some well-placed mud?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can disguise that. I don't think the thumping has anything to do with the accident at all.
Well, really? It might. I mean,
the wheels weren't hit, were they?
No.
You're sure of that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
How big a bump was it? Was it a pretty good whack?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I mean, if I actually had a license, I would have been yelling whiplash.
But you couldn't.
Oh, so you very sweetly said, don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
I don't sweat.
Let me get out of here as fast as I can. That wasn't good.
Hold the martyr bit. Go on without me. I'm fine.
I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
I mean, I think you might have done some damage to tires or wheels or something, even though you get hit from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
The car did move.
But the noise only occurs when you step on the brake.
Yeah, only when
I think you have a warped disc or a warped drum. and it may have nothing whatsoever to do with the accident. But if you really want to be a good guy,
yeah,
and you want to risk driving it again without a license, then you should take it down to the repair shop and have them road test it. Better still, have them pick it up at the house.
Yeah.
Have them road test it, and they'll
don't
find
drive
out.
It anymore.
And won't you be a hero if your girlfriend returns and you say, gee, while you were gone, I noticed there was a little noise when I stepped on the brake, and you needed new pads and disc rotors in the front. It only cost me $200, but that's all right, hon. I took care of it.
I mean, do you think that's worth it?
Well, I don't know. Is she?
Dump it. Or...
Well, you'll have to weigh the consequences.
Is she aware that you don't have a driver's license?
Oh, fully aware.
Fully aware. So she might question the fact that you went out driving her car
mm-hmm.
without a license. I think I'd keep it secret if I were you.
Okay.
I wouldn't let on right at this time.
Say what thumping? That's always been there.
That's always been there.
Good luck, Nathan.
But have it checked out. It could be due to the accident.
Oh, okay.
And get a license. You can mail away for them now.
Oh, really? Great.
Sure.
Happy motoring. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah, and I'm calling from Oak Park, Illinois.
Sarah with an H?
Sarah with an H.
Oak Park?
Oak Park.
Yes.
Yeah. It well.
Do you?
No, he's lying. He's never been to Illinois.
Except I spent a weekend there one night.
He was at O'Hare Airport once. And does that qualify as having visited Illinois?
I think so.
I guess.
I've been in Oak Park itself.
You have?
Yes.
It's a beautiful city.
It's a beautiful little town.
It is.
All right, fine. Anyway, Sarah, what's going on?
Well, I have a 1994 Grand Am. When I drive the car for 20, 25, 30 minutes or more, and the car gets warmed up and the temperature's over 200, I'll turn the car off, run into the store I need to go to, come back out, and if it's been less than 25 minutes or so, the car won't start. It'll crank, but it won't catch. And so I then sit in my car for another 20 minutes reading or just trying to pass the time, and I'll try it again, and it starts right up. I've taken it many times to my mechanic. They think I am nuts because they can't get it to do it.
Because they haven't driven it
right.
far enough to get it hot enough.
Yeah, that's what I tell them.
Yeah, and they can't be bothered.
Nope.
We had a puzzler that was very similar to this once. Had to do with pistachio ice cream, if you
remember.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the remedy.
For yeah. me or for the car?
Both.
Well, my car is actually at the shop today, so this is great timing.
It is. This is perfect.
Yes.
Well, I think you have either a bad electronic ignition module.
Okay.
Or a bad crankshaft angle sensor.
Okay.
And they're going to have to get the thing to misbehave.
Right.
Before, otherwise, they're going to have to just replace something. But these things run into money.
Yeah.
So that's why they've been reluctant to do it, because they don't want to. You're a complainer? And if they charge you like $500 and it didn't fix it, how nuts would you get?
I would
get
definitely
nuts.
Have to complain about
that's
that.
That's why they sent you away.
Yeah. But, you know, if it fixed it, I would be overjoyed.
No kidding. Everybody would be.
Yeah.
You know,
and does it happen almost every time that you drive for 25 minutes?
Pretty much. And it's slowly getting worse. It started about 9 months ago. And over the winter, it wasn't quite as bad because it would cool off more quickly.
Right, because whatever's wrong is heat-related. And
yeah.
And either the ignition coils or the electronic ignition module or this crank sensor, one of those three things is developing an open circuit when it gets hot.
Okay.
And if they can't find it, then I would take the car from them and drive it for at least 20 minutes and get it good and hot and pull it right back into their shop.
Right.
And then have it die. And preferably pull it right in the middle so it, like, blocks everything.
Block their pumps, maybe.
Exactly.
So when they go to move it and it doesn't start, they'll be motivated to find out why.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure you don't come back when the coffee truck is there.
I'll look out for it.
The whole world stops when the coffee truck shows up.
Okay, maybe if I had pistachio ice cream with me, it would help.
Ah, well, now you're talking.
We've always recommended to people that they bring along baked goods when they come with a difficult
baked
problem.
Goods. Okay,
yeah.
I'll try that.
Chocolate chip cookies work very well.
Okay.
See you, Sarah.
Great. Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's time to take a short break and put the finishing touches on the new puzzler.
You mean add the last few obfuscations and unintentionally mislead everybody?
But unintentionally. Intentionally
mislead everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we'll be back in a minute.
Bob, I don't know what you're thinking. Still driving that hot, bright Lincoln.
Telephone poles look like a picket fence. Now gas is $4 a gallon. It don't make no sense. When you sideswipe that caddy, you got away with murder. Now that car's an antique and you don't want to hurt. You shouldn't drive with smoke and flames coming out of the side. You're an old man now. You need a slower ride.
And even though our kids petition the courts to change their names to something more innocuous like Corleone whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey there, it's Joshua Johnson, the host of 1A. Often the news is full of hot takes and snappy comebacks, but on the Friday News Roundup, we take the time to go deep with guests who know the big stories inside out. Catch the Friday News Roundup in the 1A podcast on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ha! We're back. These donuts are great. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack. Talk for a while.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and my brother's new puzzler.
Okay, here it is.
Does it have to do with donuts?
No, not really.
Is the most obscene donut I have ever.
Only in America.
Only in America, exactly.
No, it's no wonder. I don't mean this in a bad way, because this is from Dunkin' Donuts. They make very good donuts.
Yeah.
But this is why they call us ugly Americans.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get that later. This was sent to us by email from John Zumsteg. He says, based on a true story.
Oh. Yeah.
One crisp fall morning, a man brings his Porsche into his mechanic, saying that he couldn't drive it more than 20 miles an hour. At that speed, it developed an horrendous shudder. The mechanic, being busy as usual, drinking his morning coffee.
And eating Dunkin' Donuts.
Tells the driver to drive his car into the shop, but he couldn't look at it until later that day. When the driver returned that evening, you can probably guess the next thing.
Yeah.
The mechanic reported that they couldn't repeat the problem. They couldn't reproduce the problem.
Yeah.
And they'd taken it on a test drive, and the car ran perfectly. Mm. Ha. The next morning, the driver returns with exactly the same complaint. Again, the mechanic puts it in the garage and spends his morning drinking coffee and overbilling other customers. Again, the driver returns that evening, and here's the same story. We drove it. That
car
thing
was
ran great.
It was
What's
perfect.
The matter with you?
Yeah.
And it's a bill for $100. The third morning,
yeah,
the driver returns. Same story. At 20 miles an hour, the car starts to shake itself apart. This time, you ready for this?
Yeah.
The junior assistant deputy fledgling mechanic, Krusty. Young Krusty.
Young Krusty Jr.?
No.
Son of Krusty.
No, this was original Krusty.
Oh, the original Krusty. This is an old story.
This is an old story, yeah.
Oh.
He hears the story, okay?
Yeah.
And he asks a question.
Yeah.
He says to the guy, "You buy new tires this summer?" The guy says, "Yes, I did."
Wow.
Krusty says, "I know what's wrong with your car."
Wow.
Ha!
Whoopee!
Now, if you think you know the answer, or you just have nothing whatsoever to do at work, like my brother, what the hell do you do all day?
What do I do all day? I mean, how can a guy spend an entire 8 hours a day?
He comes home from work. I call his house in the night, and Joanne says, "He's not home yet." And I say, "It's like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
She says, "He's at work.
Yeah.
And I went, I don't know. One of life's little mysteries.
Isn't it? Oh, it is.
Yeah, but you have everyone else fooled.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have nothing to do at work and you feel like taking a guess, mail your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us right now with a question about your car or maybe even an answer or anything, we don't care. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
This is Curtis from Stratford.
Stratford.
Yes.
On Avon?
Stratford, New York. Upstate New York in the southern Adirondacks.
Wait, what is Stratford near? I can't locate you quite yet.
Okay,
if you were going to go to the nearest big city, what would it be?
Utica. So I wouldn't
the
really
biggest,
call
the nearest big city that someone else has heard of.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Utica. I know where Utica is.
Okay, you know where Utica is.
Now, were you born there, or,
no,
or
no,
do,
no,
are you
no,
serving
no.
some
are you
sentence?
Or are you dying there?
No. Yes. That's about it. So we moved up here. My wife and I moved up here from Manhattan about 5 years ago.
Ah, to get away from the crime and to look for a nice place to raise the kiddies.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, yeah. There isn't any here? Uh-huh.
No? All right, well, that's enough bad-mouthing of Stratford. What's
okay,
on your
well,
mind?
Enough of that.
What's on your mind, Curtis?
Okay, I've got a 1988 GMC van.
Yeah.
When I start it up in the morning, or when it starts after it's been sitting for about 4 or 5 hours, it gets this real strange noise to it. You start it, it's fine, and then it goes... Jing, 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 and then it goes, gee. I've taken it to a few places, and basically everybody tells me the same thing. Well, it could be your water pump is going, it could be your power steering is going, it could be your power brakes are going, and what they all suggest is, well, we'll replace one. If that doesn't do it, we'll replace another. And I said, yeah, right.
So how often does it do this?
It only does it after it's been sitting for a long period of time.
So why don't you just let it sit in their place for a day?
Well, they've heard it.
They have heard it.
Well, they have.
But the thing is they don't seem to be able to locate and pinpoint what the noise actually is.
Well, I mean, how many guys work at the shop?
They may need to hire a few more.
A half a dozen or so.
Half a dozen. So, yeah. I mean, they put three of them with the hood up and take off the engine cover inside and put three more in there.
Okay.
And you turn the key.
And at $300 an hour, they ought to find it.
And they'll be able to... Actually...
Well, I think the way to find... I had a similarly vexing problem recently in our shop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was a Dodge Caravan that had the same kind of a noise. And it was there almost all the time, but it was most noticeable when the engine was cold and first started.
Right. That's the way this is. Once it makes the noise and the sound goes... It stops. That's the last I hear of it.
That's it.
And the noise was creaky.
And right. Well, it goes...
Right.
Ching, ching.
And then that's it. See, it's not that it bothers me. It's just that I had...
No, no, it's bothering
you. When I had
you.
Taken it in, they had said that it's a major problem, and if I don't get it fixed, but if they can't tell me what the problem is, it's like, well...
How do they know it's major?
Right.
Exactly. Well, here's the way I would attack
wait,
the problem.
I'm not finished yet. Does this happen as soon as the car starts, or is there a 2 or 3 or 4 or 20 second delay before it happens?
There is a delay before it happens. That's what has them.
How long is that delay?
Probably not more than 5 or 10 seconds.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that I had all the facts straight. Now I can tell you.
Right.
I have no idea.
You have no
what's
idea.
What's making this noise.
But he has all the facts.
Right.
Well, I mean, you can't know that you don't know unless you have all the information, and now
right.
I have
well,
it.
I was ready well, to hear one of your patented, unencumbered by the thought process
well,
answers.
It might come yet. It might come. I must admit that I do have a feeling.
Well, let me explain to you
what
we did to solve this problem with this caravan that we had in the shop. We,
uh-huh.
You strapped Manny to the hood.
No, Manny won't do that anymore. The chicken fell off twice and broke his glasses. No, we determined that it was coming from one of the accessories that was driven by the belts.
Uh-huh.
So we took the fact this vehicle had only one belt, a serpentine belt that drives everything, water pump, power
right.
steering, alternator. We took the belt off, and we noticed that the noise wasn't there.
Good.
So we knew it was one of the accessories, and not wanting to replace them all, we very slowly turned them all, listening with a stethoscope.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it turned out to be the water pump. And you could hear it going, the bearing must have been a little dry, and once the thing warmed up or heated up a little bit, the noise went away.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be something like that. I would suggest to them they take the belt off, or you can even take the belts off
right.
and run it yourself. Without the belts and see if the noise is in fact gone. If it is, then you've narrowed it down to one of those things and you needn't really worry about it.
Yeah.
Because if it is the water pump, eventually the noise will get really bad. If it is the water pump, you might want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the power steering or the alternator, I'd leave it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to say that it absolutely is one of the accessories.
Yeah, if it was serious, it would have
blown up.
Something would have fallen
that's
off.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I'd forget about it.
Me too.
Okay.
Unless you're curious. And you got nothing else to do, which
no,
you probably
no, no.
will.
I'm not that curious. That's why I called the experts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we helped a lot, didn't
See
we?
See you, Curtis.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dorothy calling from Devon, Pennsylvania.
Which end of Pennsylvania is Devon? It sounds easty.
I'm near Philadelphia.
Okay. It has that sound, yeah.
What kind of a car do you have?
Well, actually, my question actually concerns a Land Rover that my husband and I have in the Okavango Delta of Botswana,
where we do
research in a national park.
Well, we do a lot of work there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I called.
Yeah, my brother does a lot of work in the park, too. Yeah. But they've caught him doing most of it and chased him out. Oh, God.
Okay.
All right, so this is an area of southern Africa where there's this big inland delta and a swamp that's flooded for about 4 months of the year, and where it's impossible to do any driving at all. But for about the rest of the year, for about 8 months, it's possible to drive to our camp, which is in the middle of a national park, from the nearest town, which is the town called Moun. And it's about 50 miles away.
Yeah.
But it's very slow going because there are no roads, and you have to drive through deep sand and some water.
Sounds like my ride home every night.
Yeah. Anyway, a few years ago, we decided to upgrade our ourselves and trade in our old, ancient Toyota pickup truck for a camouflage green Land Rover TD5 diesel truck.
Whoa.
Yeah. The Land Rover people aptly call it the Defender.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Defender comes equipped with all sorts of intrepid accessories, like a bull bar for driving over trees.
And it really does have the Rhino package.
Absolutely.
And you really need the Rhino package there.
There's about two rhinos left in all of Africa, and we might run into it.
That's because you guys are running them down with these Defenders.
Exactly. Well, this thing could do it, I'm sure. And it's this camouflage green, so the rhinos never see you coming anyway.
Great.
But it also has a snorkel for driving through water. But we've run into a problem. Apparently, the design of the Land Rover is such that the fan is situated very close to the radiator.
Yeah.
So if you drive through water any deeper than about 20 inches, the water pushes the fan against the radiator, and the fan shreds the radiator.
Oh!
And
they hadn't counted on that.
So we talked to Land Rover, and their solution is to say never drive through water any deeper than 18 inches.
Ah, the morons.
But mechanics in Moun, which I say is a nearby town, are very creative and resourceful, and they resorted to the time-honored solution to every engineering challenge in Botswana. Which
take the piece off.
Wire.
Wire
is used for everything in Botswana, from plumbing to constructing houses, and there's even a kind of genre of wire sculpture.
It's like the shim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's the metallic equivalent of the shim.
Yeah, right. And so you have deep discussions over beer about which gauge of wire to use.
Refrigerator wobbles?
Yeah.
Shim it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So here's their solution. You're driving along, you come to water. You tie the fan down with a bit of wire, which you've attached to the chassis of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So the fan is now completely immobile.
Mm-hmm.
Now you drive through the water,
mm-hmm.
and after you get out, you stop the car, open the hood, detach the wire, free the fan, and you drive on.
Perfect.
Perfect. Except here's my question. First, given that you're pushing the car by driving it in extremely hot weather in first gear and in low range, how far can you drive the car with a fan wire down without the engine exploding?
Till it boils over.
Yeah.
Well, first of all...
Well, how far would you be driving through water?
Well, it varies, you know.
Oh, it could be
miles. If you're in the water, you don't need the fan.
I mean, the way the cooling system works is it transfers heat from the engine through the radiator core away with air, usually, but now half of the radiator is going to be covered in water.
So it doesn't matter.
Oh, if any part of the radiator is covered with water, the transference of heat is so much better.
You got much better.
You know what it's like now? It's like the river is your whole radiator.
So basically, we should always drive through water.
Whenever possible.
Yeah.
Sure, just take the fan off.
That'll
you
be
won't
good.
Need it.
Well, see, better. I was thinking better than the wire.
I don't like the wire idea.
Well, it's inconvenient. Rather than using the wire, you ought to be able to hook something up where you run a little rod right through the dashboard.
Oh.
That would just boop, stick into the fan and stop it, so you don't have to get out.
Oh, no, I like that.
Don't you?
All you want to do is stop the fan from turning, and you can do that any way you want.
Right, you can stick your leg in there.
Stick a big stick in there.
You could put a stick. Exactly.
A stick would be good.
So if you could put a stick that went through the dashboard somehow.
But it wouldn't be culturally correct because wire is the product of choice here.
Right, they have wire art.
If it's wire...
So explain to us again, what are you doing there?
Well, we study baboons.
Ah, you want to visit us? You want to come to the show sometime?
Absolutely. We've been doing this for 25
years. You have to drive across the Charles River.
So give us, what's the most fascinating thing about baboons that you've gleaned from your 20 years of study?
Well, they live in social groups a lot like humans, and they have, you know, vendettas and alliances, gossip.
Really?
Did they watch The Sopranos?
They are The Sopranos.
They are The Sopranos. Oh, The Sopranos are they.
Yeah, well, it gives you some idea of how close groups like The Sopranos are
to the
simian population.
Right. We haven't come all that far.
No, and in fact, the only thing they don't have is wire.
Well, you know, and if they had it, they'd maybe one of the only things that separates us from them is speech.
Yeah.
Well, it may not be speech because they may have enough speech to work.
Well, speech, but I mean by speech, I mean the written word and all that. And we think we're so much elevated, we forget how close to them we are.
Yeah.
You know, and you're reminding us of that, Dorothy.
Thanks very much.
It's been nice talking to you.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, good luck.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Vendettas.
Jeez. They have vendettas.
Gossip.
And gossip. So, I mean, for gossip, how does she know that? How would she know that?
20 years. They're talking about her. She's back again.
She learned the wire trick. I wonder if they know that. She learned the wire trick.
Oh,
she's here a month early.
They can cross the river now. Damn. Yeah, they may know.
And do they say, Sonia Henny's too
tall? I'm sure they do. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Rotterdam Glazed Ham Cam Spam Roast Slam, Fried Clam, Candy Yam, Grand Slam, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our caffeine addiction counselor is Bruno Moore. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our dope slap administrator is Dad Hertz. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pence. Our tolerance quality control guy, of course, is Nat Sass. Our big band leader is Juan Anatu. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Hugh Jess. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the mildewed tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1917, download other migraine-inducing episodes, or check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com.
This week at cartalk.com, a great alternative to trading in your old car. You can donate it for the benefit of your very own favorite NPR station and get a tax deduction, too.
And it's easy, right?
Oh, yeah, they even pick it up.
One phone call, it's like arranging to have somebody steal it. But it's legal. I love it.
That's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Details at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though public radio interns decide to switch to investment banking whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.